Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profiles. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome in to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck here, along with Chad Marquitz. We're your hosts for this weekend's edition. Also your hosts throughout the week on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Corlin Economics Report. Thank you, everybody, for sending in the emails, letting us know which podcast distributors you use and which ones you have been having trouble getting our podcasts. We went through a bit of a change in servers and distribution network, and we're still trying to make sure that our podcast is being uploaded every day to all the different podcasting apps. So please keep emailing us, letting us know, hopefully, that you are receiving it, or if you're not, let us know what service you are using. That being said, let's get into these markets as we are kicking off the show with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, Doc, we always chat either at the very tail end or very beginning of the month. We are recording this on Wednesday, and really it's about recapping last month and looking ahead to how you see these markets playing out. We will get into the precious metals and a few other sectors, but first and foremost, U.S. equity markets. July was a pretty good month for U.S. markets. They started to bounce really at the beginning or second week of the month, and no matter what market you look at, whether it's the S&P, Dow, NASDAQ, Russell, they're all up 12 to 15, 16%, so it has been a nice rebound, but again, this rebound does very much look like nothing more than a bear market rally or dead cat bounce. Doc, what's your takeaway from that July action and how it translates into what could come here in August?
Well, I think August is going to be a month where it's going to be okay for the conventional markets. And I think that we could move higher, but I don't see a lot of volatility in the conventional markets this month. I think the market this month could close out at a higher level than July. And we could have a few weeks here of getting people's hopes up. The negative on that is, frankly, is I'm sure it's one of the variables that the Fed watches is the conventional markets, and they must be licking their chops because that's going to allow them to continue to be aggressive in their interest rate hikes. And that's the worst thing possible, frankly, for us to see as far as the precious metals and commodities are concerned. So they're going to love the fact that the conventional markets are so sanguine, and it's just going to allow them to be even more aggressive going forward as long as these conventional markets levitate here. But I don't think that's going to last. And come September and October, I think the conventional markets get some real headwinds again.
Yeah, Doc, it's a great point that the stronger markets over the last couple of weeks, and if that extends into August, will give the Fed some cover to continue hiking as planned and as they've messaged. But if you think that things could roll over in September, October, I just got to ask, I know you've put on some shorts in the past on the general markets. Would there be a technical level or a place you'd be looking to short the general equities again, say in a month or so?
Boy, that's a real tough one, Chad, because I would probably look at about 34,000 as the first chance to short. That's the first chance I would look at shorting this market. And it's going to take us a little while to get there, but I think we might reach that again as 34,000. Then I'd have to seriously look at other technical indicators to see if I want to take a position again. So that's what I'm watching right now is around 34,000. I think we have some really good odds to get up to that over the next few weeks.
So, Doc, what I find so interesting about a lot of these U.S. equity market charts is that the bottom, or at least the short-term bottom, was really put in the middle of June. So the market's looking ahead to, who knows, maybe a slowdown in Fed policy, or quite frankly, they're just oversold to the fact that they rebounded. But over this month and a half now, you look at something like the NASDAQ, on a daily chart, the NASDAQ is pretty much back to overbought territory. If you look at the RSI, if you look at the slow stochastics, does that change your outlook at all, saying that maybe the worst is over in this large, or what has been kind of a grinding bear market through this whole year?
Boy, I hope the worst isn't over, because that's not going to portend well for our future. Because when you look at the long-term charts, the markets have not broken down through their 50-month moving averages for years, except in 2020 when it closed briefly below it, when we had that plunge in the early part of 2020, which, when it happens that fast, it's often not a signal of a bear market. So if we're truly in a bear market, we're going to have to take those 50-month simple moving averages and exponential moving averages out to really see a bear market for this. Because if it bounces off of there like we did in June and we continue to move higher, this market is going to be so overbought that when the crash comes later, it's going to be stupendous, actually. So we've had just unrequiting moves higher in these markets because of the easy money policies, and we can't afford that anymore, because it's just going to put us at more risk down the road.
It's a great point, Doc, and I don't think a lot of people that are at trading desks that have only been trading maybe 10 or 15 years even understand what a real bear market looks like. But it's not over in 6 months typically, or 8 months. It's usually 12 to 18 months, and all the economic indicators are that the economy is slowing, whether it's the housing, the labor markets, the GDP numbers. It's not a real rosy picture out there, and that will be reflected in corporate earnings reports. When you're looking at the general markets, Doc, do you ever get into individual names, or do you mostly trade ETFs? What are you looking at when you invest in the general markets?
I look at different sectors, and especially growth stories. Right now I'm looking at a couple of biotech companies that I've started to purchase at really low levels that were up tremendously compared to where they are. And they've got good products. And I think with time, if they continue to grow those companies, and I think they have a chance of really seeing a big move down the road. And biotech has gotten hurt so bad. So I'm looking at that, and then I'm looking at a semiconductor company that may have a product that replaces silicon as far as about batteries are concerned, because it's much more efficient, it's not as heavy, and so I'm looking at things like that with that are a small cap that have a potential to really do well in the future. So I'm starting to purchase some in that area. So I'll look at any sector where there's a potential high growth story, and I'll start to take positions, because some of those stocks have gotten so battered already.
Doc, it's across the board. A lot of stocks have gotten battered throughout this year, and even started at the tail end of last year. As much as we're liking this rebound in markets broadly, you've outlined the scenario there where it doesn't seem like this is going to be a straight move back up, and we are still very much in a bear market. Again, a lot predicated, unfortunately, on what central banks are doing, which is continuing to hike rates. It was also interesting to see, just at the tail end of this week, as good as the market seemed to be doing, they still closed the week slightly in negative territory. So who knows, maybe this couple-week run is ending sometime soon. We have to wrap up this segment for the radio, but we're having you back on next segment, Doc, and we will get more into the precious metals sector. Just as a note for everyone listening on the radio, you can hear this full interview with Doc on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, Portland Economics Report. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Richard Postma.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back, everyone. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report, and we are continuing to chat with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. Now, Doc, we talked a lot about the conventional markets in the first segment. Let's switch focus to the precious metals. I know a lot of our listeners want to hear your thoughts on the precious metals. Let's start with gold. Gold got off to a pretty bad start to the month in July, selling off pretty consistently down to a low of about 1678. That was about 3 weeks through. And then it rebounded nicely in the last couple of weeks to close just under 1800. Again, though, the chart still isn't looking all that great when you consider it's just continuously lower lows and lower highs that we keep on seeing here. Are you encouraged at all by that rebound in July from that 1678 level?
Yeah, somewhat. What I'm encouraged by is the fact that, you know, you go back to 2012 to 2013 in that gold market in 2011. When we saw a move down in that peak, we moved down, and I have to check my numbers, but if I remember correctly, we moved down about 46% before we bottomed from the top. And here we are sitting more months out than when it did that, and we're about 20% down or less. And I've talked consistently about how there is more underlying strength to this gold market than back then, and that's very encouraging. Now, the other thing I have been harping on for months is that when everybody was so bullish, you know, went up and challenged its highs before, I've been harping that. And why I harp on these things is for people to give an indication on what might happen here, the odds of it. It's so rare to be in a long-term downtrend like this without pricing challenging the lower Bollinger band on the monthly chart. And guess what? We challenged that finally last month. And it's encouraging that we bounced off of that, plus we bounced off with one of the 50-month moving averages, which I had mentioned also it would be rare that we didn't challenge those. So now we're up here this month, and that's encouraging. And I think this month for gold is going to be okay. We might even close with a higher monthly close than last month. But once again, I don't think we're going to get a chance of moving right back down to challenge that lower Bollinger band this month. We may do it in September, but so far we're looking pretty good this month. And those bands, Bollinger bands, are still moving sideways. The lower one's starting to move down a little bit, which I don't like to see. But compared to what happened in 2011, 12, and 13, this is a totally different picture than we saw back then. Plus, I had mentioned that the strength indicators were moving laterally to down at such a slow rate, and that usually gives you an indication that you have underlying strength to a market.
Doc, some really cogent points there. I distinctly remember 2010, 2011, there was true euphoria in the sector. There was people out on streets with signs saying they'd buy gold. There were TV commercials. There were radio commercials everywhere. We were nothing like that when gold got above its all-time high just in 2020. And this year in March, when gold got back above 2000, there was no euphoria in the sector. It was mostly just precious metals traders trading amongst themselves. So 100%, it's a different setup than what the downturn we saw in 2013, which was that really cascade down. We haven't seen that this time. So to your point, there's some underlying strength in the gold market, but it sounds like you think things are going to waffle along here, maybe a little bit up in August, a little bit down in September, October. What will you be looking for as a signal that it's more of an all clear, that maybe the uptrend is really going to start in earnest with gold?
I will get feeling a lot better when you look at the MACD on the monthly chart. And I said this months ago, when we get close to neutral on that, because I don't think the MACD is going to go as deep into negative territory like we did back in 2011, 12, and 13. And that's what I'm watching very closely. And we're going to continue to move down with a 12-month leading the 26-month. We've reestablished that move down, and that could last into the first part of next year, frankly. So that's what I'm watching very carefully. And there's a couple other things that I'm interested in that I may mention later because I may then, if those particular technicals are reached, I may raise the alert to people that I feel that we're pretty close to a bottom.
Doc, let's talk gold stocks then. GDX, GDXJ, no denying that they have been in a downtrend really since August of 2020. So we're talking 2 years now. The stocks went through a pretty big sell-off in June, rebounded a little bit in July, but are still well below any recent highs. And look, it's a pretty pronounced downtrend that we are seeing here. GDXJ, for example, is off a little over 50% from those highs in August. Any chance that these gold stocks finally do get some more notice from investors rather than simply just trading with markets? Because I thought scary markets, bear markets, recession fears, all that should be pushing investors into gold stocks. Doesn't seem to be, because they moved exactly with the markets during this rebound.
Yeah, and I had mentioned that a long time, too, that I thought it would, once the general market got hurt bad, would kind of move down with the market, because I think what these stocks are signaling and what gold is signaling is that we're moving into a disinflationary environment. Now, that doesn't mean deflation, that means disinflationary. And I think we're going to start to see some slowdown in inflation as far as the percentage gained in comparison over last year. One of the reasons why, frankly, I think the oil chart is starting to break, which I had mentioned a while back, and it won't break enough to help Biden in November by that time, I don't think, but it's in a slow motion and in a southern manner right now. And so I think there will be some positive news on inflation in another 2 or 3 months. I think we're going to see some slowing of it, and gold may be sensing that right now. Now, that doesn't mean that the Fed's going to be out of the woods at all, because they think, everybody thought they meant that we were at neutral at 2.5, which we aren't, by the way. Suddenly, all the other ones came out afterwards when a couple of days later we had mentioned this, that suddenly Kashkari got all hawkish after he'd been dovish, and that's what they do. They play these word games back and forth just to keep people unsettled that are trading these markets. They've been doing that for years. But anyway, so I think we will continue to see pressure, particularly on GDX, because all you have to do is look at Newmont right now, and that's a pretty ugly looking chart, and it's right at its 400 week exponential moving average, and it's going to probably close below that this week, and that does not portend well for Newmont. So the big caps are starting to get hit here finally, and that's going to continue in the near weeks going forward.
All right, that wraps up our time for segment two. Again, listen to that full interview on our website and podcast. Stick around, we're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
USA Radio News.
A number of children may have been exposed to monkeypox after an adult at an Illinois daycare center tested positive for the virus.
Pediatricians are on site as we speak to screen children for cases, and there are mobile testing and vaccines for their families.
That was the director of Illinois Department of Public Health. At this time, officials did not disclose the number of children that may have been exposed to the virus, but they have began screening the children and the staff from the daycare. The monkeypox disease is typically spread through prolonged skin-to-skin contact with infected people's lesions or bodily fluids. This is according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The daycare has been cleaned and it is still open. This is USA Radio News.
The administration is hanging their hat on a positive July jobs report.
The United States economy added 528,000 jobs in July. Unemployment rate also fell to 3.5%. The Labor Department released the latest monthly jobs report Friday morning. July's report marked a positive jump from the prior month, which saw a payroll gain of 398,000 jobs added. Today's number came in more than double what economists had expected. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
China is continuing to launch military drills following a visit by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan. Republican Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy says the Biden administration is lacking in its response to the aggression.
You can imagine that they see President Biden as weak, and that's why they are being as aggressive as they are being aggressive.
The Louisiana Republican speaking on Fox News. This is USA Radio News.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report, we are now chatting with Adrian Day, president of Adrian Day Asset Management. Now, Adrian, just as we started off with pretty much every segment this weekend, and it felt like every segment this week, I do want to ask you about the general bounce that we have seen in markets. It hasn't just been isolated to one market. It's been pretty much across the board where a bit more risk tolerance has come into investors' minds. It has everybody wondering, is there truly a bottom in place for markets? Are we going to continue to see more money put to work? Or, quite frankly, is this just going to be another bear market rally or dead cat bounce within what already has been a 7 month long plus pullback all this year? We've already seen a couple bounces this year, two in particular that have taken the markets up about 10 to 11%. This rally has taken markets up broadly around 12%, so right in that same range as the earlier bounces. Adrian, give us your takeaway. Is a bottom truly in place for the markets, or again, is this just another bear market rally or dead cat bounce?
Yeah, well, of course, and thank you for having me. Good morning. Well, we never know for sure, of course, but, you know, my sense would be that this, we are in a bear market, and if that's the case, this is simply a bear market rally. As you mentioned, bear market rallies are frequent. Any time we've had a bear market in the past, there have been many rallies, and I think, you know, just back to the dot-com bust, you know, the rally lasted, what, 2.5 years, but during that time, there were five rallies, bear market rally being defined as more than 10% bounce. So, you know, rallies in a bear market are usual and are frequent. seeing the market bounce, the S&P I'm looking at now, seeing the S&P bounce from, you know, June, early June, mid-June, I guess, about 12% or more than 12% now. And it's coming up to what I would call a soft ceiling. It's obviously not a hard ceiling, but it's where the rally petered out in May. It's the bottom that we saw in March a few times before it was finally broken. So, you know, it's a reasonable level to think, but we're very close. We could be close to the end of our rally. You know, 4,200 on the S&P is what I would target. And one of the reasons that I think we're still in a bear market is because the Fed has not finished tightening. We've talked about just how hawkish they are or are not in the past. And to remind listeners, I don't think they've been very hawkish at all. But nonetheless, they have not ended that process yet. And yet the market valuations are still very high. You know, we're selling at over 20 times earnings multiple on the S&P right now. That does not sound like a bear market bottom to me, not at all.
Well, Adrian, it seems like things were just so oversold that, you know, most of these bear market rallies start with a short covering rally first where the shorts cover, and then you see a little life, like you say, maybe 10%. And it did accelerate after the FOMC meeting and the Powell press conference when he seemed to indicate that next year they'd be wrapping up and maybe even indicated some people thought that they may go back to rate cuts next year. There was also that bad GDP number, second quarter of U.S. growth, negative, and that just kind of solidified people's belief that while the Fed is still hiking and still has maybe a few more hikes to go, that they're kind of getting things more normalized and they're not going to be as aggressive. Do you think that's enough that would even be able to get markets going anyways? Or what fundamentally has to change, in your view, to see the markets, the general markets or the commodities, rally and for it to stick?
Well, absolutely. If the Fed were to pause, they don't even have to pivot, but just pause or signal an end to the rate hikes, I think that would be sufficient to get the market going. And as you say, Powell at his press conference, it wasn't in the official statement, but you normally get the more interesting stuff in the press conference anyway. He did, as you say, give some pretty dovish comments, which frankly was a bit surprising. And also the fact that he said the Fed will no longer give, you know, longer term guidance, but they'll play it meeting to meeting depending on what data comes in. That sounds very much to me like they're sort of getting ready to change direction. And so the market definitely reacted to that, but you probably noticed in the last week, really, since that press conference, we've had 5, 6, maybe even 7 current Federal Reserve officials, as well as Bill Dudley, the former New York Fed chief, come out saying, we haven't finished yet. Bullard said it today, you know, we haven't finished yet. We're going to bring inflation down to 2%. We're determined to do it, blah, blah, blah. So I think that's a little bit of walking back or clarifying, if you want, what the message of Powell left. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not a big Fed supporter, needless to say, but I'm not in the camp. I've not been in the camp all year that thinks the Fed's going to pivot at the first, you know, at the first sign of trouble. But I suspect that by the end of this year or early next year, we'll be seeing a pause from the Fed. I mean, the economy is just, despite what they say about not being in a recession, both the Fed and the White House, the economy is slowing pretty dramatically. And, you know, Powell and the other Fed members, I'm not talking about Biden here, but just Powell and the other Fed members, I mean, they're not stupid. They can see that the economy's slowing. And so when they say, oh, well, you know, we're not technically in a recession because there's a lot of other things that go into a recession. You can't have a recession when unemployment rate is so low. And for Powell to say that the labor market is strong right now is really quite preposterous. But again, he's not stupid. He has to know it. So the unemployment rate is low, but the participation rate has declined. The number of job openings has declined dramatically. The number of layoffs, new claims for unemployment, has gone up significantly, more than expected. So all of these are indications that the employment picture is changing. And then you have companies from Amazon, Google, Facebook, Starbucks, all talking about hiring pauses or even layoffs. And they all use different words. You know, the high-tech companies don't say we're going to lay people off. They have, I think Google has something called a simplicity program, which is a euphemism for, you know, cutting people, and everybody knows it. Anyway, my point is that the employment picture is changing dramatically. And if all you look at is the unemployment number, you are looking at the past, you're looking at what's happened. And that, frankly, is one of the Fed's big problems. When you're data dependent, you're always looking at the past. You're looking at what's happened. But apart from that, you know, you only have to look at history. And, you know, people say you can't have a recession when unemployment is so low. I mean, the White House has said that, Powell said it at the press conference, and many other Fed people have said it. They've said with unemployment so low, there's no way this is a recession. Well, you can go all the way back to 1947, and every single recession, unemployment was very low at the beginning of a recession. You know, and Powell has got to know that. He's not stupid. But I don't know whether they think they can continue to fool the public. I'm sorry, I'm going on to another Fed rant. So let's get back to Margaret, shall we?
Adrian, I think you're right. This is a good time for our radio stations anyway to take a break. In the next segment, we're keeping you here, but we are going to talk a little bit more about the market moves that we saw this week, the generally more risk-on environment that we are seeing, and which sectors you think will benefit the most, hopefully from a bit more of an uptrend, but again, we'll also discuss time frame. Everyone, stick around. We're going to be right back with Adrian Day.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Hey trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at vantagepointsoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report, we are continuing to chat with Adrian Day. Now, Adrian, look, no one's denying that I think the economy's, if not already in a recession, are heading down that route, and the job market, even the Fed is starting to say that they are paying attention to it. Job market has been weakening a little bit. But again, back to these markets, it's been a broad-based rebound. Just like it's been a broad-based sell-off this year, the markets that have arguably outperformed have been the tech sector, which took it the hardest on the downside. The commodities, those have also bounced. But again, just hand-in-hand with the markets, I personally haven't noticed too many sectors or any individual sectors that are truly outperforming during this rebound, meaning that investors are showing a bit more aggressive nature in those sectors. Have you noticed any sectors that have outperformed to the upside that have looked stronger to you during this rebound?
To be honest, no, I haven't. I haven't. I mean, what I'm looking at very much right now, the only broad sectors I can see that I think are worth buying now for a sort of 1 or 2 year horizon would be the gold and silver stocks and some of the resources. You know, I like the copper stocks.
Now, why do you say that, Adrian? Get into why you think those will outperform to the upside when, quite frankly, they've just followed the market.
Okay, so typically in a market decline, gold stocks go down with the market, and frequently they will go down ahead of the broad market, and they will go down further than the broad market. And we certainly saw that in the second quarter, that the XAU, the gold and silver stocks, fell more than the S&P. But typically, you know, again, looking at 2020, 2002, 2008, 1987, typically after a sharp decline in the market, the gold and silver stocks rebound further than the broad market. Now, it certainly hasn't happened yet, and that's largely, I think, because of the dollar. You know, the dollar's been a headwind. Gold is down. Gold itself is down about 6% this year. The dollar's up about, it was up about 14%, but it's less now. So given the headwind of the dollar, gold has held up well. But I think the gold stocks will turn when gold turns meaningfully. And again, that was certainly the case in 2020, 2009, and the other dates that I mentioned earlier. Gold moved up, and then the gold stocks rebounded. So, you know, the big question to me has two big questions. One is when the Fed pauses or even pivots, that would be very positive for gold as well as the stock market. The other factor that would see gold move, obviously, is the dollar. And we know the dollar's been very strong recently. By recently, I mean the last several months, based primarily, you know, on the rate differential, with the U.S. rates being higher than Europe, Japan, and other alternatives, and the differential getting even wider until recently. But, you know, in the last few weeks, we've seen the ECB raise rates. The Bank of England is expected to raise rates again today. Australia is going to raise rates again today. So that rate of change is beginning to change. The differential is still in favor of the dollar, but the rate of change is beginning to change. And so I think we've probably seen the high for the dollar for at least the time being. That will certainly help gold, no question, because that's been what's really helped gold. And it's significant that the rally on, you know, Pelosi's visit to Taiwan, the dollar rally, has been fairly muted. And, you know, China making, you know, doing war games and making threats, you would have thought would be seen as a reasonably significant geopolitical risk. And yet the dollar didn't really rally much. Certainly not as much as when Russia invaded Ukraine. So I suspect that the dollar rally that we've seen, the long-term dollar rally, is running out of steam there. And that'll be very positive for gold. But the gold stocks really aren't going to turn up significantly or meaningfully until gold turns up, frankly.
Well, Adrian, when gold does turn up and it starts dragging the whole sector with it, including silver, a lot of times we'll see the largest miners move first because the capital flows will go into the big boys, you know, the larger producers, the royalty companies that are kind of safer names, and then it'll start working its way down the food chain into the development stories and then eventually down into the explorers. When you're getting positioned and trying to, I guess, take advantage of the low pricing, would you be moving into those larger cap names first and then gradually work down the food chain? Or are you looking at it that some of these juniors are so completely beaten up and taken out to the woodshed that they actually look pretty safe to get into based on where they're trading in valuations right now?
Yeah, I am putting most of the money into the larger cap stocks right now for the reasons you mentioned. They are typically the first to move. They're the more certain to move. That's another important factor. You know, if you buy, just to name five names, if you buy, you know, Agnico, Barrick, Franco, Osisko, and Royal Gold, you can be very, very certain that if gold goes to 2,500, your stocks, or 2,000, your stocks are going to move. If you buy, you know, Consolidated Moose Pasture, it may or may not go up. So the big cap stocks are more certain to move, and they're also, for the reasons you said, the flows, the first to move. But having said that, as you say, some of the juniors are so very, very undervalued that we're buying some of those as well. But I'm still focusing on the big cap names. And I think there'll be time to buy the big cap names, and if we get rallies, to start trimming some of those, and there'll still be time to move into the juniors.
So, Adrian, how aggressive have you been then? With your positioning, what have you been positioning in? Can you give us some insights into how you're playing, again, right now, this potential bear market bounce for markets across the board?
Across the board, outside of gold and silver. I mean, we're pretty loaded up on gold and silver stocks. We have a full allocation there.
Have you been fully allocated over the last few months to a year?
We've been reasonably fully allocated. I mean, when people say, oh, you've got 8% cash, say, yeah, but that means we're 92% invested. So we've been reasonably fully invested for the last year, but we did raise money I have to say, in March and April, never enough, of course. And we put it all back to work, you know, obviously in retrospect too soon. So we've been fully invested for the last, you know, 6 or 8 weeks. If we want to buy something now, I have to sell something. That's the gold and silver allocation. Not so the other commodities, and certainly not so the broad markets. If this is a bear market, then there's a certainly a reasonable probability that the bear market rally has certainly seen the most of what we're going to see. And again, as I said, the valuations are not low. I always look at valuations. Valuations, as we've discussed before, they don't tell you a high valuation doesn't mean the market's about to crash, just as a low valuation doesn't tell you about that it's going to go up. But this is certainly not a bear market bottom at 20 times earnings. So we're not buying broadly, but selectively. Outside of the resources, there are some interesting and attractive buys. I mean, one stock we've been buying is Altria, you know, the old Philip Morris, which is yielding about, MO is a symbol, which is yielding over 8% now. It's almost 9%, in fact. No, it's 8.2, sorry. So that's a nice yield, which is as certain as any yield in this market.
All right, Adrian, thank you, as always, for your time. Always interesting to hear what you're investing in. I always read over the notes that you send to all of your clients because it does cover a wide range of stocks. We do talk a lot about resources with you, but you invest in some high dividend paying stocks, some much more well-known stocks, and I find that all very interesting in terms of what you write to clients. Again, Adrian, thank you for your time. Everybody, thanks for tuning in on this weekend show. I hope you all enjoyed this weekend show. And, hey, I hope this rally keeps going for the markets. But, boy, oh, boy, we are getting a lot of comments. It is saying this is, again, nothing more than a dead cat bounce, bear market rally. Again, it's also happening in the middle of summer. So we'll take that with a grain of salt. Everybody, thank you again for tuning into this weekend show. We'll be back with you next week. Please, as always, keep in touch with Shad and I through email. We love hearing from all of you, and we'll talk to you all on Monday.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready-hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.